Hey friends, welcome to the Thrive Like a Parent podcast. You know those parents who look like they've got it all together? Yep, that's not me. I'm Dr. Brooke Weinstein, mom, widow, and neuroscience expert on all things sensory and emotional regulation. Yep, that's right. I'm here to get down and dirty on the truth behind parenting, education, burnout, neuroscience, widowhood, and the shit show we call life. So come join me for conversations with thought leaders, doctors, and women just like you who aren't afraid to speak the truth and help you find that silver lining between the to-do lists, shit shows, and chaos of parenthood. If you are craving the answers to finally find that sweet spot between chaos and calm, pull up a seat and listen in as I take you from burnt out and surviving to finally thriving. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Thrive Like a Parent podcast. Today, I have back with me a very awesome special guest, Carter, who, as you know, is my partner. And today, we are going to talk about communication. And it's a topic that we really want to talk about, but it's also a topic that you all have been very interested in because it's really hard to have healthy communication within a partnership, and it's something that we have worked on, as well as something that we make an active effort to have strong communication skills within our partnership. And we have both come from partnerships that we didn't feel that that was there, as well as we just recently did a reel, which was a real conversation. And so many had so much to say, especially saying that they wish that they could have that type of communication with their partner, that we felt it would be really supportive to you to discuss how we've gotten to where we've gotten, what has worked, tips and tricks and tools, and kind of our journey along the way of how our communication has gotten to where it has gotten.
I mean, you summed it all up. I'm good.
A man of few words. Yeah.
Hope y'all enjoyed. So let's start with communication or lack thereof from past relationships, because it's something that, as Brooks mentioned, affected both of us. We didn't have the best communication in previous relationships. And so that's something that, unless you do the work on that, you will carry that with you into every other relationship you have until finally you decide you've had enough. It's time to put the work in, or maybe you put the work in even in between relationships, which is also great. But the work you're going to do there is kind of a little different until you actually get in the relationship to kind of test out maybe what it is you've been wanting to change or what it is you think you're going to change. So,
yeah, that's true. I think I did a lot of work on myself prior to stepping into a relationship, and I learned how to own my feelings and figure out where it is in my body. Like, I learned how to regulate my nervous system on my own, and I did it internally. Like, I did it within my own system. I did it by myself, basically. And then requesting my needs was more of requesting my needs from support of Lolo or a sitter or someone who I was asking, but was also giving something in exchange, right? I was monetarily asking them to help me and do something. And I think it's different when you get into a relationship and you're asking, or I would say it was different for me when I was asking or having to communicate with you. A, number one, not holding it all in by myself, sharing it, saying it out loud, and then B, verbalizing what I needed, and releasing, not feeling bad for asking to either lean on you or have you support me or support the boys or support my needs, if you will.
Yeah. So I think Like, that's great that we've through work gotten to that point, but let's talk about the real aspect of that, like, that wasn't always there.
Yeah.
And one of the things you've got to keep in mind too, when you're making these changes, that you want different communication in a relationship from what you've had, it's not overnight. It will take work. And while we can sit here and talk to you about how well we communicate with one another now, it's not always been like that. There've been many bumps along the way to get the communication level where we wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Many hard conversations mm-hmm. that did not go well. Mm-hmm. You know, I, for one, wouldn't always handle things that great early on. And Brooke's answer to that would be, I'm getting off the phone right now if we're in a phone conversation. And it used to piss me off so much because I'm like, we're going to finish this damn conversation. And she's just hanging up. But I was looking at it as she's avoiding it. She's backing out of the conversation. In reality, I'm on like a level 10, or now I might be on a level, I don't know, 3 or 4 mm-hmm. with my reactions. But it was a much more volatile time.
I don't think you were ever a 10. I think that you were really strong. Like, you are willing to have the conversations. You are willing to continue to talk and talk and talk to get to the core of whatever is going on. And I, based on my past, would be triggered. And so I would elevate every now and then, or I'd feel like you're not understanding me, or you're not hearing me, or they were just triggers that I was moving through, and it was my own stuff to like work through every now and then.
To a degree, right. I'd say at times my delivery was not
sure
great. It could come across as either harsh or almost accusatory in some situations when it wasn't even meant to be, but it's like the words I chose or didn't choose affected that delivery and kind of how it was then perceived by you. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the course of this relationship, I've learned more on the communication side of like how to articulate better, or how to kind of pause, if you will, and really think about what's about to come next as far as what I'm wanting to say, what I'm hoping to get across, what I actually mean versus how it could be interpreted or received.
Yeah. And I think that I would pause the conversation, whether it be in person or over the phone, was because I knew that there was no good that could come from where we were at in that moment. And I needed to take a breath and regroup, if you will. And then I felt like that would be healthy for all parties necessary. Especially in the beginning, that was uncomfortable for you. There was discomfort in like taking a pause of like, mm-hmm. okay, we need to pause here, because you were willing to, and it wasn't always at a 10. It was just, you were always willing to continue the conversation to get to the resolution, or to get to the core of what was going on, or to get to how do we support this, or how do we change this, or how, like, let's keep talking this out. And I think that pause became more, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that pause became more and more comfortable for you, as well as we've really decided that no hard conversations should be on a text or over the phone.
I don't know if the pause itself has become more comfortable versus I've just accepted that sometimes you need more time mm-hmm. to process something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's no point in pushing this.
Sure.
Because if pushed, the response is not going to be the same response that she would give if she needs more time. Like, if pushed, then we're adding more emotions into the mix. We're whatever the conversation or topic may be, if you're pushing, it's just, and the person doesn't want to be pushed. You know, you've got frustration, you might even have anger, that there might be these feelings of the person I'm in this with is not understanding me. Like, the list could go on, and that's kind of what happens when that pushing comes into play. So pausing, I'd say it's kind of a balance with you and I. If there's something like we really have to think about, either one of us, we will take time.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something, a minor disagreement, but we're kind of in the mood of like not wanting that to fester into anything else we want to talk about, we don't really pause.
No, not as much.
Maybe
we needed more pauses and for longer period of time, in my opinion, years ago than we do now, I think.
Yeah. And then I also think too, though, in some of those situations, the longer the pauses got, it wasn't necessarily always a great thing. Mm. Like shelving communication or just avoiding, if you will, certain topics that in our heads had begun to become bigger deals, and then waiting more and more to talk about or going down a rabbit hole before we talk about it. Hmm. May not always have been the best, but you know, we worked through it. We navigated that. We've talked about things since.
I think for me, and I think it's really important to discuss here, that for me, I was beyond unwilling to repeat my past. I was beyond unwilling to have a dynamic or have a relationship and communication like my past. And so for me, I was unapologetic about, I cannot repeat it. And so I think because I was unwilling to repeat it, I needed that time and space. And so for anyone who is deciding to shift their dynamic, and even clients that I work with and Carter works with, when it's new, when it's fresh, when you are shifting certain things, and we will give you tips and tricks of how we've gone about the things that we've gone through, or how we have found certain things that work, and things that we share with our clients as well. But in the beginning, it's like you're in pre-K, like you're starting over, and it takes time to learn things, right? It's like, just like riding a bike. You fall a few times and you get up and you try again, and there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way. But because I was unwilling to repeat certain patterns, and my brain was used to old patterns, it took me more time to either process through certain triggers or feel the safety within our own relationship, as we were building the safety within our relationship, to make sure that I was processing through things and then we were communicating them. I think that that's really important from my lens, because I have been through a lot, and I needed to be able to do it in a pace that felt comfortable for my brain to release some old and bring in the new patterns.
So along those lines, I think one of the biggest conversations we had, probably, if I had to guess, it may have been probably like 6 months into things. I think it was around like June or July, sometime in the summer. And I can't remember what it was about.
I have no idea what
like
it was about.
What led to it, but we were here, the kids were gone. It's like
one of the weekends.
Kid-free weekend, yeah. If you will.
Which we don't ever.
Right, not anymore. But this conversation began to take a very...
You were so calm. You were so calm the entire time. You were just asking me to explain myself.
Yeah, it took a very different turn. I can't remember what it was about.
I can't
but
either.
It took a very different turn, and it was like you just let a bunch of stuff out. And
well, I didn't let anything out. I kind of froze up.
Then we may not be thinking about the same one.
Where I was in the corner with the dogs?
Yeah, that was letting a lot out.
I did. Okay. Yeah. So you're saying letting a lot out like emotionally or like?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. I feel like you were asking you were literally asking to understand. You were like, you were asking.
I remember what it was about.
You just said you did.
I just, like, this is all coming back.
What was it about?
It was, there were some things. It started as there were some things.
You have too good of a memory.
You didn't really like about me at the moment.
Okay. Okay.
And I think I continued to be like, I'm just trying to understand what you're saying because I don't feel that that's as accurate.
Got it.
And then as the conversation kept getting further, more and more things started coming out. Like it was no longer just about these thoughts or issues you were having with me at the time. Like it more and more came to the surface and it became, I don't know, I guess just like an overall feeling you were having. I'm not really sure, but it got intense to a degree, you know, which I don't really shy away from.
No, you don't.
But it was a side of you that I had not seen before.
It was like a panic attack. Like I haven't had that ever since. I think that what happened was, I did not feel safe in my last relationship to communicate. I did not feel safe in my last relationship to say the hard things. And I fully, fully believe that to have a healthy relationship, you have to be able to say the hard things, which the craziest part about it is that if we're choosing to have a partner, if we're choosing to have a spouse or get married or have someone in our lives who is the most intimately connected person to us, the craziest thing is that most of us don't share the hard because we fear so much of rejection, or we fear so much of not being those words being accepted, or we fear that there's no safety there. And it's the one person in the entire world that we should be able to let down our walls and say the hard things. And I think for me, it was a moment where you were asking me to let down my walls and say the hard things, even if it meant saying something that I was afraid might hurt you, saying something that I was upset about or felt discomfort in. And I was so afraid to tell you because I was so afraid what I was going to be met with in return, or I was so afraid that that safety was not there and or wouldn't be there. And
which is foreign to me because I operate completely different.
Right.
And I'm going to speak my truth, speak my mind. And
yes,
if you don't like it, it's on you. Like,
yes,
if that's too intense for you, there's somebody else out there. Like that's,
mm-hmm,
that's how my brain operates. It's how I've operated for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, we talked about that vaguely, like in the last one of these we did.
Mm-hmm.
Where I just talked about brutal honesty, and if that's too much, if it scares her away, so be it. There's someone else that will accept it. But
mm-hmm. And I think that that's one thing that attracted me, because I saw that if you could be open and honest and say the hard things, I felt that there was a level of safety of like, he's going to allow me the space to say the hard things as well. But I was the one who had to get there. You never stopped me from saying the hard things. And that's why I said in that conversation, you were calm. Like you remained calm the whole time. There has been very, very few moments throughout our entire relationship where you have, like you said, elevated to a 10. Like I don't really feel that you have it very, very, very rarely. I mean, maybe 3 times, if that, where you've elevated. But I ended up, for those listening, I ended up in the corner of my bedroom on my dog's beds, like huddled in a corner on the floor, seeking comfort and safety. It was like a visceral nervous system reaction of, I need to feel safe right now. And I was crying hysterically. And I just said, we need to stop. We need to stop. I was like, probably hyperventilating. I like couldn't breathe. And I may have asked you to go. Like I may have said, I need you, I need you to go or I needed to stop. But you didn't. You stayed.
Well, I left the room.
Yes. Yeah, I said I need a break.
I think I gave you some time and then you came out, you know, whenever you were ready and we watched a movie or something. But
yeah. We watched a J-Lo rom-com and he cooked me dinner.
Yeah.
But seeing that, and then after the movie, we sat there and had a really awesome conversation and kind of regrouped. But seeing that you wouldn't run from hard moments was something I needed to see. Mm. Seeing that you leaned in hard moments was something that I definitely needed. And I believe that we all need that in hard moments. We all, most of us, and I don't want to generalize, but a lot of us say like, there's something going on with her, like, or there's something going on with him, like, F that, I'm like, you let me know when you're ready, or, you know, like, well, I've got my own shit too, like, peace out. And I think it's what you did in that moment and what I believe that a lot of us have a hard time doing is you released the agenda for what you were hoping to learn or continue talking about. And instead you decided, okay, there's a need here. I see that there's a struggle here. We need to support Brooke in this moment, get her through this, and then the conversation can continue.
Yeah, I think there was a kind of in the moment, though, I found a balance. I was able to support you, but also give you the space to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's key as well, that I think that was a really big moment for both of us. Obviously it didn't scare me away. I'm still here. And seeing that side, seeing your vulnerable side, if you will, something that you weren't necessarily sure you were going to put out there until it just kind of came out in the moment, was a big deal. And I'm glad that we were able to work through that. We were able to, you know, I was able to meet your needs, but also give you space, which is pretty important in moments like that. And you got to just kind of not take it personally mm-hmm. when someone's not really pushing you away, but it's just like, this is really intense. And this is the first time I'm dealing with something like this in a long time. And I think, you know, we came out the other side in a pretty good place after we closed out the conversation. And we're really big on that. We make sure we close out our conversations, which I also think helps not just in moments like that, but just overall in general communication. It's like nothing's really left unsaid, but it all comes full circle and gets discussed, returned to, whatever you want to call it. And then we're done with the conversation. It doesn't really leave room for it to be reopened, I guess. You know, we have closure of the conversation, and that's kind of it.
I think one last thing I will say to that is that I am someone who, and I've worked with a lot of women who look for an opening of like, hey, how you feeling? Hey, are you okay? Hey, that, like, we have a really hard time expressing and being like, hey, I need to talk to you. I feel this way. Because we are people pleasers and we want to keep the peace and we want to be the caregiver and the whole thing. And one thing that I think in a heteronormative relationship, I should, I guess, preface that. But if I think that men, meaning basically you, what you have done is, like you're saying, we always close out the conversation. We always round out the conversation. Without fail, you always come back, always. And you're like, hey, do we have anything else to talk about? Like, hey, do you want to talk about anything else? Do you want to say anything else? You'll come back hours later or a day later, and usually there is stuff we still need to discuss. And it's always a really healthy, beautiful conversation. But rarely do I do that. That's something that I very much appreciate about you, that you offer that up for me, because it has always been hard for me to open up. And that conversation allowed me to let my walls down and explain that reaction and explain where it was coming from and explain the trigger. And we were able to get that much deeper.
I think your processing time is a little bit longer than mine. So if we've had a hard conversation, or, you know, just a full conversation about something going on, we talk through it, and then, you know, maybe you've processed something before we get to that point of the conversation, but we're talking through things. You may have thoughts. I may have thoughts after,
right,
a day after. You know, that's why I follow up, because something could have been said on either end of this, and the other person's like, well, actually, I didn't even think about that.
Right.
Maybe I have a little more to add, or maybe I have a question about that. So
the follow-up is really good. That's a good tip and trick.
Yeah, I'd recommend that.
Ladies and gents.
I would definitely recommend following up on your conversations, especially if they've been difficult or hard ones.
Difficult or hard ones, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I think another thing, we were guilty of this early on, not so much lately, but it happens. Like, it happens in the best of relationships and the best of communications, that you end up going what some people would say tit for tat with the other person.
I do not think we do that a lot. I think we did that like in the first few months. You think we did for tat?
To a degree in some conversations.
Still?
And
Where
I'm going with this is, sometimes when we've expressed something we're not pleased about with the other person, it's easy to just go, yeah, but you did, or that's interesting you're saying that, because you kind of did the same thing last week, or these are things that you're doing and now you're bringing them to my attention that I'm doing. And to me, that's a form of going tit for tat with someone.
Sure.
It's not necessarily running through a checklist of like, well, you pissed me off today. Well, hey, you pissed me off last week, and you did this and you did this. Well, you did this, all these other
things. Yeah, and just screaming match. We've never had that.
But at the same time, I think in our relationship, I guess, I would consider that somewhat going tit for tat. But a lot of couples do. They argue that way. They fight verbally that way. That's even like a normal form of communication, is almost airing grievances and comparing who's done the worst, if you will, in conversations. So I think the best tip I have for a response to that, and I know I've used this with you, and you may have even used it with me, is you want to, if you've aired something that you're not pleased or has been offensive to you from the person you're dating, and they come back with, yeah, well, you also did, or something of that nature, you need to continue on your path. But you also need to disregard their feelings, because somewhere along the line, you did do something that bothered them or hurt them, or they wouldn't be bringing it up. So it may have been that they didn't speak their piece in the moment, and they're using the door you have opened to speak yours. A good response to that is, I understand you're frustrated with me over something that I did, but right now we're talking about me, and I'm happy to come back to what you're feeling after I finish addressing what I've got to say. And so by doing that, you're, for lack of a better term, validating their feelings, or you're letting them know you hear them. Hey, I'm not leaving you in the dark. I'm going to come back to that. But you're still going to go.
We've got to focus on your path. We've got to finish one thing first.
It's what you set out to do. Talk about your feelings, talk about how they may have made you feel. Get that out there first, hopefully reach a resolution in the same conversation on that, then circle back to, all right, now that we're squared me away because I'm the one who started this conversation.
Now we can talk about you.
What's going on in your world?
Yeah. What I like to say is there's three levels of communication. It's like the chaos tit for tat of like, well, you did this and I did that, but I take out the trash and you did. Like it's the chaos back and forth. And a lot of that language is you. And then the next phase is more of like that psychological phase of like, of communicating, of like, I'm trying to hear you, but I don't understand because I it's a little bit of tit for tat, but it's attempting not for it to be. And then the lowest and the most deep layer is, how do I feel? The I statements. And we've worked really hard, both of us, to make sure that we're not saying you statements of like you. We focus on I, like I feel this, I feel that, because those still people can say, if you feel that way, but I, like, if you said, I feel that you're not something. And then I were to say something like, but I did that, you're not giving me praise for what I did do. You're only saying things for what I haven't done. Right. What we have done a really great job at is taking those feelings, hearing each other, those I statements, and knowing that it's just their feelings. It doesn't mean that we are a failure, either one of us. It doesn't mean that we are broken. It doesn't mean that we have done anything wrong. It just simply means we have built a safety in order to be able to share something we're feeling.
Got to do the work. You got to get to the point where you put the time and effort into it to get under control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've said it all.
We've said it all for today.
For today. You want to end it or you want me to end it?
I don't recall the ending, but...
We did this last time.
Welcome, excuse me. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Stay thirsty?
Yeah, Dos Equis guy.
Jeez.
You close it out. I forgot.
So until next time.
See ya? I don't recall what the close is.
You do
is.
Know it. Okay, so.
I do not. If I did, I'd say it. So we can be done. I can go eat a sandwich.
So until next time, XOXO, Dr.